In the book of Luke, Luke chapter 8, one of my favorite, two of my favorite places for this, but this is one of the favorite parables. I love this. We see it in Luke chapter 8. We also see it in Mark chapter 4. I'm just choosing to read it in Luke chapter 8 this morning. This is the parable of the sower. So in Luke chapter 8, I'm going to start reading in verse number 5. It says, a sower went out to sow seed. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the traveled path and was trodden underneath, and the birds of the air ate it up. And some seed fell on the rock, and as soon as it sprouted up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And other seed fell in the midst of the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it off. And some seed fell on good soil and grew up and yielded a crop 100 times as great. And he said these things. He called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him be listening, and let him consider and understand by hearing." And when the disciples asked him about the meaning of this parable, he said to them, "To you it's been given to come progressively." So Jesus is saying, listen, to you guys, you're asking about this because you don't understand it. For you, this is given. Understanding is given, and it comes progressively. To know, to recognize, to understand more strongly and clearly the mysteries and secrets of the kingdom of God. But for others, they are parables, so that though looking, they may not see, and hearing, they may not comprehend. Now the meaning of the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those along the traveled path are people who have heard, then the devil comes and carries away the message out of their hearts, that they may not believe, acknowledge me as their Savior, and devote themselves to me, and be saved here and hereafter. And those upon the rock are the people who, when they hear the word, perceive and welcome it with joy, but they have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of trial and temptation, they fall away, they withdraw, and stand aloof. And as for what fell amongst the thorns, these are the people who hear, but as they go their way, they're choked out and suffocated by the anxieties and the cares and the riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not ripen, come to maturity and perfection. But as for that seed in the good soil, these are the people who, hearing the word, hold it fast in a just, noble, virtuous, and worthy heart, and steadily bring forth fruit with patience. So this is Jesus, and he shares the parable with the disciples. And this is the parable, as he says, you know, the parable is the sower's walking along the path, and as he's walking along the traveled path, some of the seed is fallen or some of the seed is sown on the three different kinds of soil. And then we have the fourth soil. There's three different kinds of soil where the seed doesn't produce any fruit, and then we have that fourth soil, which is the good soil, and that produces the abundant harvest of 30, 60, 100-fold. And so he gives that, and then when he's with the disciples to themselves, and this is one of the things that I want us to see. And when his disciples asked him the meaning of this parable, he said to them, to you. So this is true for you. Jesus is saying, when you read the word of God and when you read this word that we just read, this parable that Jesus gave, it's the word that he spoke. So it's still the word that is true and applicable in our lives today. And we can understand what it is. And we can have depth of understanding. And we've all read this parable. And we've all been taught in this parable. But I am certain you can read this parable another 20 times this year, and you'll get something more out of it every time that you read it. More depth, more understanding. Why? Because Jesus said to them, to you, and this is for you then also, it has been given to come progressively to know, to recognize, to understand more strongly and clearly the mysteries and the secrets of the kingdom of God. This is talking about the things that are of the kingdom of God. We'll come back to that in a second. But the others, for others, they're in parables, so that though looking, they may not see, and hearing, they may not comprehend. So Jesus is saying, and he's saying this to you today, this is a parable and this is truth. This is an insight. It's a parable which gives an illustration so that you can see what's taking place in the kingdom of God. We live in the natural world. But there's also the greater reality, which is the spiritual reality, and that's the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom of God, all these promises are already done. Everything is already done. In the kingdom of God, there is no want, there's no need, there's no depression. In the kingdom of God, there's not financial concerns, there's not health concerns. In the kingdom of God, it is the perfection that we can't begin to comprehend with our natural minds because we don't live in that world of perfection. We live in this fallen world. Now, we're still tied to that world of perfection through Jesus Christ and through the Holy Spirit that is in us, but we dwell in and we live in this fallen world. So in the fallen world, it's hard for us to perceive these things. But Jesus says parables are given to us. Parables are so that we can get an illustration, a glimpse into the kingdom of God, a glimpse into the spiritual realm, a glimpse into the things that we would otherwise not be able to understand, because the natural mind cannot perceive these things. My natural mind and your natural mind is limited. It's finite. So how can something that is finite understand something that is infinite? Our minds are finite, but the kingdom of God is infinite. How can something finite understand something infinite? Well, we can't. But that's why he gives us illustrations and pictures, to give us a picture, to give us something we can see to comprehend and understand. And he says that as you see this picture, it is given to you so that you will progressively come to know and understand those things that are mysteries to the natural mind, those things that are mysteries to this natural world, those things that are different and to a large degree opposed to the things of this natural world, because they are the perfection and the promises of Jesus Christ. It's the kingdom of God. So these parables are given, and this parable is, which we're going to look at specifically, this is a parable that is given so that you and I get a picture, an understanding. With finite minds, we can get a picture and comprehend that which is the kingdom of God, that which the natural mind itself cannot understand, but we can understand it by the Holy Spirit that is in us, and because Jesus himself gave us these parables. So if we look at these parables, and we listen to the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit speaks to us, even though we have finite minds, we gain understanding through the Holy Spirit of that which is not knowable through the flesh and through the natural. That's amazing. This is a promise that Jesus has given us. With a finite mind, you can see and get a picture and progressively understand it. Yeah, but you know what? It takes work. But we can progressively understand and get a picture of the things that are the kingdom of God. And why is it important for you to get a picture? Why is it important for you to see and begin to progressively understand the things of the kingdom of God? Why does Jesus want us to see the kingdom of God? Because he wants us to see the promises that are ours through him. He wants us to see the promises that we can't see in this natural world, not with the flesh. But we can see them because he's shown us these parables, he's given us illustrations, and we have the Holy Spirit, which shows us and gives us comprehension and understanding that's beyond the natural. It's beyond natural understanding. It's supernatural through the Holy Spirit. He gives us those things so that we can see those promises that he has prepared and established for us, and we can live those things even in this natural world, even in this carnal world, even in this lesser world, even in this fallen world. We can still see and experience. We can participate in and still see and experience and bring those promises, those good things from the spiritual realm, from the kingdom of God, bring them from that spiritual reality into this natural reality. That those things from the kingdom of God and those promises that Jesus is saying, you will progressively understand. That's why I'm showing you these things. You'll progressively understand them so that when you understand them in faith, you can have those promises displace the natural realm realities of sickness, contention, all things, financial problems, marital problems, depression, all things. The promises of the kingdom of God displace those things in the natural realm. That's why he wants us to see into, that's why he has those parables. It's the parables so that we can see, but then you and I have, even the disciples, we're told that they would progressively understand that. But you and I now, at that point, the disciples didn't have the Holy Spirit. You and I, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit dwells in you, dwells in your spirit, prepared and ready and always showing you, if I'll listen and if I'll hear, showing me greater understanding, because it's His Spirit in me. It's phenomenal to think that Jesus wants us to see these things. And it comes down to this, what He said right here. The secrets of the kingdom of God. It is so that you can progressively come to know and recognize and understand more strongly and clearly. He wants you to know and understand more strongly and more clearly the mysteries, the secrets of the kingdom of God. These are the promises that are yours and mine, and He wants us to see them, to progressively, to every passing day and every passing week and with every passing month and year, come to progressively know and understand, strongly understand those things of the kingdom of God. That's awesome. So that's what Jesus is saying here. Now, as He explains to the disciples about that parable, He says in verse number 11, now the meaning of the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. So here's the foundation that Jesus is giving to the disciples as understanding. And it's given for you and I to understand as well. In this parable, the seed represents the word of God. So the word of God is a seed. So what do we know about a seed? Well, seed is that which produces life. You know, life is in the seed. If you plant tomato seeds in your backyard, the tomato doesn't come because the ground gave it life. Life comes from the seed. You put the seed in the ground and the seed germinates in the ground. So the ground is the holding place for the seed. And the seed germinates in the ground. And if that seed is attended to, if it's watered, you know, if the weeds are kept away, if it's tended to, then that seed will grow. And as it grows, that life establishes more life, greater life. One seed will wind up producing a great harvest. I gave the illustration yesterday when Tommy and I were here for Share-a-thon that when I was living in Florida, I think I gave this yesterday. I said this to somebody yesterday. It might have been on the air. Maybe it was to somebody else. But I had said that when I was living in Florida, we had a tangerine tree in our backyard. So I was in junior high and high school when I was in Florida. And we had this tangerine tree, and there was nothing better than going to the backyard and getting a fresh tangerine right off that tree. Well, at some point, somebody had planted a seed, a single tangerine seed in our backyard. One seed. That seed grew. And that seed produced that tree. The ground didn't do it. The life came from that seed. And that seed, which the life came from, produced that tree. And that tree, when it came to maturity, started to produce fruit. One seed then produced fruit. And I will tell you, in a season of the tangerine tree producing fruit, that tree was covered with far more tangerines than one tree was covered with far more tangerines than we could ever eat. I mean, you would literally get hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of tangerines on that tree. You would. Every year. One seed, that first season of harvest, one seed produced hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of tangerines. Each tangerine having probably, what, 10 or 12 seeds in there? One seed, if that one seed had produced one tangerine, it still would have been multiplied by 12 and produced 12 more seeds, which would then continue to produce. But it produced hundreds of tangerines, each with 10, 12 seeds in them. That's a phenomenal, phenomenal return. That is life. And then that one seed planted in that tangerine, that was what it produced that year. You know what? The next season, it did the same thing again. And the year after that, and the year after that. One seed winds up over a lifetime producing hundreds and hundreds of thousands of other seeds of fruit, which bear other seeds, which bear more fruit. And all that came from the life of one seed. Jesus is saying here to the disciples, now the meaning of the parable is this. And the first thing He establishes when He says, here's the meaning of the parable. I'm telling you a parable, this parable, because I want you to see the kingdom of God. I want you to see what the natural mind cannot comprehend. And here's the first thing you need to understand. The parable means this. The seed is the word of God. We put the word of God, and this whole story is about where you plant the word of God. What happens to that seed? this word of God, if you will today invest any amount of time in reading this word of God and even speaking this word, I don't care if you read in Genesis or Revelation or anything in between. If you read the word of God, this is the seed, and the life is in the seed. This is his word. The word of God is the seed, and it produces life. The life is there. Well, how come I'm not seeing that fruit? How come I'm not experiencing that kind of fruit? I mean, you talk about a fruit that comes from one seed of a tangerine, and you're talking about hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of other seeds which could produce, and hundreds of thousands of just fruit to enjoy from one seed. How come I'm not seeing that in my life? Well, because he's saying the seed is the word, and the seed is where the life is. It's in the word. You have to get the word. The ground is not what produces the tangerine tree. It holds the seed, and it supplies. It holds it and it supplies nutrients, but the seed is where the life is at. The life is in the seed. So I have the word of God. I need it. This is the seed that I need to plant, but I need to plant it in soil. The soil doesn't produce the life, but it holds the seed. So your heart, your soul, your mind is what holds the word of God. It holds the seed. The seed has life. Now, have I prepared my heart, my soul, my mind? Have I prepared that to be able to hold the seed in a way that seed can bear fruit? Because what Jesus is telling us in this parable, and we'll look at the examples tomorrow, or I guess I'll do it on Thursday, but what he's saying here in this parable is the seed holds all that life, all of that potential for those all the potential for that unlimited fruit. All the potential is yours. You read the word, the potential's there. Its life is in the seed. But I need to make sure that my soil, my soul, my heart, my mind is prepared and is proper, that seed can germinate and that seed can produce. If you're not experiencing the kind of fruitfulness I talked about with that tangerine tree, because that's the kind of fruit, that's the kind of things we should be reaping in our lives. That much, that's what God has. That's the kingdom of God Jesus wants us to see. If I'm not experiencing that in my life, then I probably need to consider, I need to spend some time preparing the soil, which is my heart, my soul, my mind, that I can plant the seed there and start getting that harvest.